time for overtime.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
Here we go.
And the puck is blocked. It's free.
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Another beautiful day in the neighborhood on this Wednesday, September 10th edition of the show. Welcome back to the middle of the week edition of Overtime. Still to come, latest from the NFL, the Packers make a decision on the future of their wide receiver core. We get you that news, a preview of Thursday night football coming up tomorrow night. Packers Commanders from Lambeau. Dings and dents, injury updates from around the world of sports, brought to you as always by Wayne and Mary's Nutrition Center, and the good, the bad, and the ugly before we're through today. It was ugly yesterday for the Minnesota Twins. It's been ugly throughout the season. 64-81, the new record, but Minnesota certainly has their moments to be proud of this year.
3-2 pitch, swung on and hit high in the air. Deep into the right field corner, we may have ourselves an argument. That one's near the pole, and that one is gone, and it is indeed a home run by a pitcher. Someone text Jimenez. He's out of the record book. Ryan Fitzgerald with his second home run as a Minnesota Twin, and it's 12-2.
Pretty rare stuff there. Unfortunately, that was the last run scored by Minnesota, 12-2 the final. They fall to 64-81 on the season. Twins manager Rocco Baldelli, not a lot to take away from this game.
Just a challenging game, almost from the start. I don't know if it does a whole lot of good to dissect that game. That was not one of our good ball games that we've played recently, and I'd like to turn the corner from that one. Honestly, I don't think it was one of our best pitch games. Definitely wasn't one of our best defensive efforts. We've been playing a lot better than that, and that didn't quite look like what we've been playing like recently.
So Minnesota loses elsewhere in the AL Central. Kansas City falls to Cleveland 2-0. Detroit all over the New York Yankees 12-2. And the White Sox lose at home to Tampa Bay 5-4. Tonight in Major League Baseball, this afternoon first, Brewers at Rangers 1:35. Twins do it for Game 3 of the series in L.A. against the Angels. That's a 3:07 start time. 2:30, your pregame coverage right here on the Treasure Island Baseball Network. Royals at Guardians 5:40. Tigers at Yankees at 6:05 on Prime Video. Cubs at the Braves. Rays at the White Sox. Cardinals at Mariners. Rockies at Dodgers. The final four games concerning our area squads. A massive game on the way tomorrow night in the National Football League. Thursday night football, week number 2. The 1-0 Washington Commanders against the 1-0 Green Bay Packers in Lambeau. This is going to be a big one. What's at stake in this game? Here's former NFL player and ESPN NFL analyst Dominique Foxworth.
The winner of this game becomes the front runner and challenger of the Eagles. We're going to determine who we expect. And I think coming into the season, everyone was high on Green Bay, and a lot of people were saying Washington could regress. I think the way that Washington's D-line and that whole team honestly looked last week is like regression isn't a possibility. They could improve, and we'll see how good they are going up against this Green Bay Packers team.
And certainly Micah Parsons' status going to be a big-time topic of question. Played 29 snaps in the season-opening victory for Green Bay. You'd imagine he'd get a little bit more this week, although it is a short week for the Packers on a Thursday night game. Here's Kimberly A. Martin at ESPN on Micah's status for week 2.
Micah lobbied behind the scenes to get more action in that game. 10 days after he ended up in Green Bay. So now the question for the Packers, I think the challenge is we were going to ramp up his reps as the season goes along, as he gets acclimated. But you're on a short week. So that's the issue there with Micah. Do you give him more? But he also knows his opponent very well in the Commanders, so we'll see what he's able to do.
You probably have to give him more, if we're being honest. The familiarity with Jaden Daniels and his game, chasing him down as a rookie last year. And then one other thing to consider, the short week conversation is interesting, because if Micah Parsons didn't sustain any further injury, which all reports indicate he has not, he is a short week here along with all the Packers and all the Commanders coming in. But you got the long week, the long 10-day period of recovery after this game, assuming all goes well for the Green Bay Packers and Micah. So, yeah, I expect a lot more than 29 snaps defensively coming up tomorrow night for Micah Parsons. Peter Schrager, a little bit more on the matchup. Best on best, he says.
I think the Packers defense was the best unit in football last week. Jeff Hafley's team had
9 tackles for a loss, 4 sacks, and it wasn't just Michael. Mike only played 29 snaps. Mm-hmm. You had guys like Edrian Cooper running all over the place, and then guys who we've talked about as bust. Lucas Van Ness, a first-round pick, hasn't done much, was awesome. Quay Walker, awesome. And then you've got a guy, Jaden Daniels, who might very well be the MVP and looked great on Sunday as well. So to me, it's best unit in football right now versus maybe the hope in the future of the NFL and Jaden Daniels. And you can't ask for a better setting in Lambeau Field.
It's going to be a big one tomorrow night, 7:15, the start time on Prime Video. You can listen to the game pregame coverage right here on ESPN Sioux Falls beginning at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. On Sunday, Bears and the Lions from Detroit. One of those teams, believe it or not, will start out the season 0-2. It's a noon start time on Fox. The Lions are favored to not be that team. A 5.5-point favorite in the game. Broncos and Colts in the afternoon from Indy. 3:05 on CBS. Broncos favored by 2.5 against Danny Dimes in Indy. And the Eagles and the Chiefs from Kansas City. Must-win game. Maybe. Here's Stephen A. Smith on Kansas City.
One could argue that to some degree they're punch drunk. I'm not worried about them if they were 0-2 because they got Patrick Mahomes. It's the regular season. And I know the AFC West ain't what it once was. The Chargers and the Broncos are something to contend with. And the Raiders can't be slept on with Pete Carroll there now as well. But the Chiefs are still the Chiefs. And it's hard to imagine that they're not going to be good enough to get to the playoffs. But the reason why it's important to show up against the Eagles is because they whipped your ass. And I mean, it was a really bad ass whipping. The residual impact of that, to me, is what resonates because I'm thinking other opponents see that and they're going like this. If we could just do this, we could get them. Mm-hmm. If we could just do that, we could get them. But to see that happen to the Chiefs, their aura of invincibility has evaporated in my estimation. And that is why I think them showing up against the Eagles is important. It's not because of the record. You got to show you can punch back.
And that's going to be big for Kansas City. The reformed offensive line, the new faces there. They need all sorts of help at pass catcher. We'll see if they address it via trade at some point this year or not. They'll get Rashee Rice back in week 7. Maybe rookie Jalen Royals available this week. We'll see. Kansas City going to be hurting, though, against a stellar Eagle defense. Vegas is calling it pretty close. That's a 1.5-point spread Sunday afternoon. 3:25 start time on Fox. Falcons and Vikings, Sunday night football from Minneapolis and U.S. Bank Stadium. 7:20 on NBC that night. Minnesota favored by 4.5. And Monday night football doubleheader on the way over the weekend. Bucks at Texans, 6 o'clock on ABC. Chargers at Raiders, 9 o'clock on ESPN for a doubleheader of Monday night football. How about Aaron Rodgers and the Pittsburgh Steelers? A lot of doubters were quieted on Sunday. They did beat the New York Jets in New York. Whoop-dee-doo. But Lewis Riddick was pretty impressed with one key piece of that offense.
The thing we didn't expect that people are having a hard time grappling with is the fact that the play-action passing game, Arthur Smith's play calling, all were like on it. They were on it the entire game. And people were going, remember, people wanted to run Arthur Smith out of Pittsburgh. They didn't think he was a good offensive coordinator. No one wanted Pittsburgh to sign Aaron Rodgers. A lot of Pittsburgh fans didn't want Pittsburgh to sign Aaron Rodgers. But he delivered relative to what they had to offer yesterday. So, look, I think it is sustainable. You can't get him hit the way they got him hit. You better average more than 3 yards a carry. And the defense better not give up explosives like that. But I think Aaron's here to stay as far as his performance is concerned.
So there you go. Aaron Rodgers off and running. First game where he's had 4 touchdown passes in what feels like an eternity. Come from behind win for his Steelers against his former team, the New York Jets. NASCAR race this weekend and the chase for the cup continuing from Bristol Saturday night, 6:30 on USA TV. WNBA nearing the final games of the regular season. Liberty over DC last night, 75-66. Lynx lose in Indianapolis to the Fever, 83-72. And Vegas continues to burn pretty hot right now, 92-61, the final victory over Chicago. Tonight, one game, Dream at the Sun, a 6 o'clock go time. College football returns in earnest tomorrow night. FBS game out of the ACC in North Carolina. Winston-Salem the site for Wake Forest, home to rival NC State. Wolfpack a road favorite of about a touchdown, 6:30 on ESPN. Friday we'll see Colorado and whatever ends up happening with their very muddy and yucky and unclear quarterback situation. We'll visit Houston Friday night, 6:30 on ESPN. Kansas State at Arizona that night as well. And your area teams in action on Saturday. Nebraska home to Houston Christian, 11 o'clock start on Fox Sports 1. Northern Colorado, the opponent for the home opener down in Vermilion inside the Dakota Dome, 1 o'clock start on ESPN+. Plus, USF up the road at Bemidji State, a 1 o'clock go time. Augie in Bismarck against UMary, 2 o'clock Saturday. Iowa State at Arkansas State, 3 o'clock on ESPN2. Drake is the opponent for South Dakota State up in Brookings, 6 o'clock night game again from Dana J. Dykhouse Stadium. You can watch it if you can't make it on ESPN+. Plus, UMass, the Minutemen, coming into Iowa City to battle the Hawkeyes at 6:30, and Minnesota battling the California Golden Bears, 9:30 start time on ESPN. One topic that has surely moved the needle throughout the year of college football is the debate over Arch Manning. How has he looked? Is he injured? What's ahead? Is he still a first-round pick? Is he still a top pick? Is he still a Manning? Here's Adam Rittenberg.
Well, I think he's a developing quarterback, and I think that was hard for people to understand, you know, the fact that he just hadn't played a whole lot last year. And even though he's been in the system for a couple of years and he's obviously talented, he just needs to be out on the field. Even, you know, even these next couple of games against low-level competition aren't going to reveal a ton. He's going to get back into the SEC and go against a defense like Oklahoma, which is one of the better ones in college football, and we'll have a better sense of just how far he's come, you know, since that Ohio State game where he had opportunities. You know, even though Texas didn't score a lot of points, they were right there at the end with a chance to tie the game or take the lead, and there were just some miscues that had surfaced too often in that game. We'll see if he's remedied those. So I know it's not what, you know, people want to hear, but you have to be patient with a first-year starter who again, you know, maybe there's a reason why he didn't start the last couple of years, and now he's having that opportunity and he's growing into this role.
Yeah, and the reason he didn't start for the last couple of years is because the Texas Longhorns had a better option at quarterback in Quinn Ewers, who last time I checked is in the NFL as a backup in Miami. He's better than Arch Manning was last year, and he may have been a better option this year. Who knows? This is why we do not build huge temples for things that are not proven yet. And Arch Manning certainly is not a proven commodity. As much as you listen to Paul Feinbaum and other people talk about and compare him to Tim Tebow before he actually is even a full-time starter, you got to wait and see. Am I doubting that Arch Manning will be a good player or a Heisman candidate this year or a guy that plays for a national championship? No, not really. I think he's got all sorts of pedigree and the tools to succeed and the physical gifts to do so as well. But building up players in an offseason, and we haven't even seen them yet in a full-time role against a marquee team in college football, was lunacy this offseason. I didn't think he'd start like this. I thought he'd look a little better, just like you out there listening. But yeah, let's give it some time for Arch Manning and the Texas Longhorns. Let's dive into your ReliaBank headlines of the day. Hour number two, after a pair of strong showings from Cameron Ferris and Lauren Medek at the Top Dogs Challenge this past weekend, USD volleyball team officially swept this week's Summit League Peak Performer of the Week awards. Ferris named the defensive peak performer, Medek the conference's offensive peak performer of the week. Ferris totaled 56 digs, and Medek paced the Yote attack with 51 kills and a 4.64 kills per set average at the Top Dogs Challenge. And next up, after 2 weeks on the road to kick off the season, South Dakota volleyball will return home to the Sanford Coyote Sports Center this weekend for the Coyote Invitational. The Yotes welcome in Green Bay, Florida Gulf Coast, and Kansas to the Sanford Coyote Sports Center Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. View the schedule, grab your tickets, and engage with that great program at GoYotes.com. Let's continue with your headlines of the day as we dive into some WNBA chatter. It took until the final buzzer of their last regular season game, but the Seattle Storm clinched the eighth and final WNBA playoff spot last night with Erica Wheeler's go-ahead jumper with under 20 seconds to go in an ultimate win, 64-63 over the Golden State Valkyries. Think about when you're a kid and you're in the driveway, countdown 5-4-3, and you hit the shot. I just did it live, said Wheeler, who pulled up in isolation against Valkyries defensive stopper Veronica Burton for the game-winning bucket. But you got to tip your cap here, because everything in sports is not about this immediate gratification, immediate success. You want to win. You want your team to go all the way and win the big game. But for the Golden State Valkyries to start out the season and not only be functional and competitive and respectable and in ball games throughout the year. They came all so close to making the postseason in their first year of existence. Hat tip there to that organization. Good stuff ahead for Golden State, but it will be Seattle, not the Valkyries, in the postseason field for the WNBA. And count them out all you want. Kyle Schwarber is an inevitability. He was that way in Chicago, and he's been that way since joining the Philadelphia Phillies. He hit his long ball number 50 of the year, and Ranger Suarez struck out a career-high 12 over six shutout innings to lead the Phillies to a 9-3 win over the Mets last night. The Phillies have won the first two games of a four-game series and lead the NL East by nine times over the Mets, thanks to the heroics of Schwarber, the first NL player to reach 50 homers this year. It seemed like a long time coming for Schwarbs, who hit four homers in one game last month that put the Philly slugger on the precipice of 50 for the year. Then he waited and waited some more, got the job done last night. Reaching 50 homers for Schwarbs is a career first, and the feat was sealed with a three-run shot off of reliever Justin Hageman in the seventh, and he is now three away from the major league lead, which is owned by Mariners catcher Cal Raleigh. Schwarber joined 2008 World Series champion Ryan Howard as the only Phillies players to reach 50 homers in a year. Howard had that magical season in 2006 where he hit 58. Don't think Schwarber gets that, but certainly an impactful playmaker and a guy that's been doubted based on all sorts of factors: longevity, stature, athleticism. Schwarber continues to be an eventuality. 50 homers here in 2025 as the Phillies are on the short list in a two-way tie for your World Series favorites as of today. Those are your ReliaBank headlines of the day for hour number two. As always, for a better local banking option, the choice is easy and secure. Check out ReliaBank here in town in the 605 or online at ReliaBank.com if you need a change in your banking experience. When we come back, NFL chatter, injury updates, the Packers opting to extend Christian Watson, why I like it, but I don't love it for Green Bay. I'll tell you that honestly. Coming up next on the show, Thursday Night Football Early Preview and more, all still on the way on this Wednesday edition of Overtime right here, locked and loaded on your Sioux Falls sports leader. It's ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO.
Overtime is in the middle of your workday. Unwrap your sandwich and get caught up with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Moving right along through this Wednesday, September 10th edition of the show. Thanks so much, as always, for tuning us in, being a part of the show. Your calls are always welcome at 605-362-3776. And the NFL is a tricky business and a brutal business. And Jets wide receiver Xavier Gibson is finding that out as of today. The team cutting the player after his costly kick return fumble during Sunday's loss to the Steelers, according to a source as of today. After the Steelers had cut the Jets' lead down to two in the fourth quarter, Kenneth Gainwell forced Gibson to fumble the kickoff, the game's first turnover. Rodgers took advantage two plays later, throwing an 18-yard touchdown pass to Calvin Austin III to put the Steelers up 31-26 with 14 minutes to go, one of the best games of the weekend. But Coach Aaron Glenn saying on Sunday, we can't have turnovers. We can't do it. We have to be more a disciplined team. That's something that will be addressed. You will not be on the field with this team if you're going to cause us to lose games. And a man of his word, Aaron Glenn, new head coach there in New York, cutting Xavier Gibson, one of the heroes for the New York Jets just a couple of years ago. Speaking of those Steelers, the defense has another former first-round pick in the fold now. The team plans to sign safety Jabril Peppers, used to be one of the big names in college football at Michigan, some success in the NFL. Coach Mike Tomlin said yesterday that they will sign Jabril Peppers, the addition, a byproduct of safety Deshaun Elliott's knee injury against the Jets. Elliott will be out for week two against the Seahawks, and Tomlin saying of Peppers, He's a football player first, positional player second. He's displayed position flexibility over the course of his career at either safety position. At rundown nickelback, he's a capable guy in a special team space over the course of his career, covering kicks, returning punts. He's just a good, well-rounded football player, and so I'm glad to have him in the fold. Pepper's a two-way talent, a kick return, punt return, corner, receiver, gadget guy, can do it all, was the 25th overall selection back in 2017, spent 3 years with New England before a surprise release on cutdown day last month. And joining the Steelers, Pepper's will face his former team in week 3 when the Steelers travel to Gillette Stadium to face off with the Patriots. Now, other transactions, and we got some great transitions here. Speaking of those Patriots, the Dolphins are signing former Patriot first-round pick Cole Strange, go Mox, off of the Browns practice squad Tuesday, days ahead of their matchup with the team that drafted him. Strange was released last month by New England, who Bill Belichick drafted 29th overall in 2022, started 30 career games for the Patriots, mainly at left guard, and he'll link up with the Miami Dolphins, a practice squad signing. And in case you're not familiar, NFL teams can sign anyone on anybody else's practice squad. They call them up, they negotiate a deal, they sign the papers. But the reason that it is a little bit different than the open market is that you get right of first refusal. So if somebody calls on one of your practice squad players and says, we want that guy, you have the opportunity to say, nah, we're going to elevate him to our active roster. He's on our team. That's what the protectionist of the practice squad is. Other than that, fair game. If you choose not to have that right of first refusal exercise, other people can take those players and pluck them off your practice squad. So it's a little bit of an advantage. You're practicing with the team, you're paid by the team, but your address could change in a matter of moments if your NFL club does not want to activate you to the active roster to spare you getting traded away. Let the opinions fly right now. We'll start with a big, yucky situation with the Philadelphia Eagles and Spitgate, which now feels ancient as Jalen Carter let one fly against Dak Prescott just over, under a week ago. Eagles star Jalen Carter will not miss any future games for his spitting incident on Dallas Cowboy quarterback Dak Prescott. The NFL announced on Tuesday that since Carter was ejected from last week's season opener without participating in a single play, the league would consider the second-year defensive tackle to have already served a one-game suspension. This is an important distinction by the NFL, which establishes a precedent and sends a message to players that spitting on an opponent will result in a one-game suspension. Carter will forfeit his game check from last week. That's worth $57,222, according to Adam Schefter, but will be available to play coming up this weekend against the Kansas City Chiefs. Like it, hate it, dislike it. I am very much in the negative camp there for the lack of punishment in that regard. One game for spitting on another human being. There's not a whole lot you can do that is more degrading to somebody else than that. One game, and if it's in the game before you play a play, it's not even. It's just the remainder of said game, which the NFL says is one game suspension. Monday night, Bears coach Ben Johnson wasted a challenge, ultimately blew a critical timeout after Vikings tight end TJ Hockenson caught a pass and with his knee still on the ground, had the ball punched out. So I asked the question naively and honestly, was that a fumble? And the question is back from the NFL rules office, ruling on the field correct. Here's the rule terminology. Once the ball carrier's knee is down, any contact from a defender, even on the ball and only the ball, ends the play. Ball part of the body in that instance. Now, if he were to be a smidge, a little wafer off of the ground with the knee, which I'm sure we have the tech to determine, and the ball gets punched out, different story. But if he's down and you touch the ball first and only the ball, he's a part of the body. So down by contact, that was the right call. Ben Johnson wasting the challenge. And that was just the tip of the iceberg of a yucky second half for the Chicago Bears first-year head coach. The Cowboys are bringing an intriguing name in for a visit. They got defensive tackle Kenny Clark recently in the Micah Parsons trade. And they're reportedly meeting with another potential addition to their D-line as of today. Pro Football Talk with the last article on Hockenson's almost fumble, and this article on Jadeveon Clowney, who is apparently in Dallas meeting with the team today. The Panthers most recently released the South Carolina native back in May, and he said he planned on keeping playing In the wake of the move, the former number one overall pick has had a little bit of a disappointing career. 58 career sacks, not a complete bust, but not a playmaker, difference maker, crazy, crazy, crazy contributor. Jadeveon Clowney, though, possibly linking up with the Dallas Cowboys later today, visiting in Dallas as of today. And lastly here from the NFL, my opinion here on Christian Watson. Christian Watson returning from surgery on his torn ACL. The Packers receiver will not have to worry about playing for his future. Watson agreed to a one-year, $13.25 million contract extension with the team, and his agent, Adisa Bakari, told ESPN Adam Schefter yesterday the 26-year-old second-round draft pick in 2022 had been in the final year of his rookie contract and would have been a free agent next offseason. Deep threat receiver suffered the right knee injury in last year's regular season finale. So, what does this mean for Green Bay? Is it good business? Is it bad business? What does it mean for the rest of the roster? This is a good business move. Packers lock up a good receiver when he's on the field, which is what I'll get to in a moment, for a bargain bin price of just $13.25 million. They extend it out here, give him time to recover. Clearly, they're pleased with Watson's mentality, what he brings to the team, how he's approaching rehab, and they think he's going to be back sooner than later and help the team significantly on offense. That's fine. That's well and dandy, but it does kind of take the carrot away from the donkey or the horse or whatever the analogy is, because when you have somebody playing for a contract year, they're coming off an injury, Watson is really damn hungry to get back on the field, be an impact player for his team, and also put some good tape out there for other teams that might come calling. You pay him now, and who knows? I'm not saying he's going to show up and be doing nothing for Green Bay and say, I got paid next year, $13 million no matter what. I'm not going to do anything. I don't think that's the case. But I do think that they removed the incentive from Watson that this year was so darn important for his career and his future as a Green Bay Packer. The other thing is, to quote every old ball coach ever, the best availability is availability. And Christian Watson has not been available. We found that out last year with Jaire Alexander, who had spent the last couple years doing not a lot in terms of being available on a football field. Christian Watson, like him or hate him, love him or despise him, has not been available throughout his career and has been injury prone throughout his career. I really like the player, like the person, like the mentality he's brought to the Green Bay Packers, but matter of fact about it, he's not been that available. You look at his stats throughout his career, and again, he was a rookie, but started out of the gates for Green Bay, the infamous drop in the first play with Aaron Rodgers dropping it in the bucket against the Vikings. Whoop, dropped it. Whoop, there it is. And not a great start to the career, but Watson rebounded. He had 9 total touchdowns as a rookie, played in 14 games. The second year, he played in 9, just about half. Last year, he played in 15, and that includes the game that he exited against the Bears. So he missed 2 full games and then the remainder of the Bears game with that tough knee injury. I wish he was healthy, because when he's healthy, Watson is not some crazy all-pro or even Pro Bowl talent yet in his NFL career, and he might not ever be. But if you're a casual football fan, you get caught up in stats. You get caught up in touchdowns and yards and catches and average and all that stuff. What one thing that you don't get caught up in if you're a casual football fan is, how do they impact the game? What do they bring to the table? How do they impact the defense? And Christian Watson clearly has a big impact, and Matt LaFleur loves what he brings to the table in terms of being that field stretcher, running those go routes and dragging the defense in a particular way, or shading coverage to his side because look out for a screen. That guy could take it to the house at any moment, and he absolutely can. So those are the big benefits to Watson's game. It's not about the stats. That's why I'm not going after the fact that he only has 1,600 receiving yards in 3 seasons as a pro, or 14 receiving touchdowns in 3 years as a pro. Watson is a good football player. He's not a great football player, and his availability has been questionable. If he comes back and earns another contract after this, you can count me super-duper happy. But what makes me sad about this situation is that there's another receiver on the roster that has been, in my opinion, better, more reliable, and overall a more consistent player than Watson, that is not going to be benefited by this deal. And his name is Romeo, Romeo, where art thou, Romeo Dobbs. I think that the writing is on the wall for him. He's been subject of trade conversations for a while. Apparently, there's a couple of deals on the table for Green Bay to move off of Romeo Dobbs, and the time's not now. I would be surprised if it was. Could be a deadline ship away for Romeo Dobbs, especially if you see Matthew Golden elevate his game and Christian Watson come back and be the guy that we know him to be when he's healthy. But Romeo Dobbs, by far the best hands on the football team. Consistent playmaker when he's given the opportunity. He's had a couple locker room run-ins, notably a suspension for going to LaFleur's office without talking to his position coach about lack of opportunity and asking about when am I going to see the football more. Dobbs and Watson have eerily similar stats and different pedigrees. Watson was going to be a first-round pick of Green Bay. They couldn't get into the first round with Minnesota. Minnesota trades down to the early second. Green Bay trades up. So the fifth-year option was not an option for Green Bay, but they do it today, as of yesterday. $13.25 million for an additional deal. It just makes me a little sad because I really am a big fan of Romeo Dobbs, but there are a lot of mouths to feed. First-round pick Matthew Golden. Jaden Reed is a baller. Not enough opportunity. Christian Watson getting paid. Dontavian Wicks is a question mark. Malik Heath is on the roster. Tucker Kraft, Luke Musgrave. You can go on and on and on. This feels like Romeo Dobbs' exit papers from Green Bay at the end of the year, at least, and possibly via trade before then. That's the Christian Watson news and a Thursday Night Football early preview. Just to look at the odds here for this big game tomorrow night. And I got to tell you, looking at the schedule as a fan of the Packers, you go through every year and you say, and any team, okay, win, win, win. That's winnable. That's a loss. That's win. That's loss. That'll be a tough one. This year was very hard to go through the schedule pre-Micah Parsons trade and say, win, 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 like we used to when you had Aaron Rodgers and all these guys out there and a really rock-solid team. Green Bay is a good team, and they could be a great team this year, but I'll tell you honestly, if they go 2-0 with that schedule, despite the fact that both games are at home, which is a big advantage, that'll be pretty darn sweet for the Green Bay Packers. And the rest of the way, coming up pretty darn soon, they've got Cleveland week 3, Dallas week 4, both on the road, and then the bye. So we could, and you guys are going to laugh, I'm knocking on the wood, and you'll say, Bert cursed his Packers. Could be looking at a 4-0 team into the bye week for Green Bay and the talk of the town, the toast of the town. I don't know. I don't have the feeling that that's the case. I think 3-1 is probably the more realistic record there. But as you look at tomorrow night's game, lot stands out here. Keep an eye, by the way, on Jaden Daniels' wrist. He was throwing yesterday at practice with his opposite hand. Overly cautious, I'm sure. Just like Jordan Love was with the pinky. We'll see about Jaden Daniels and the wrist, but Green Bay favored by 3.5. The score total, 48.5 points. The offense in D.C. this past weekend against the Giants, a good defense, not a great defense, was a sputter. Green Bay's offense was a little bit of a sputter, 27 points in that game. My gut feeling right now in the ball game is the under. The spread is just enough to tick me off, 3.5. I feel like 3 is the place to be, but the under to me feels pretty safe for Green Bay and Washington. Again, I am anything but knowledgeable on the topic of sports betting, but that to me is what makes sense for Thursday night's game. Commanders, Packers, listen to the game right here on ESPN Sioux Falls. Our coverage will begin at 7 o'clock. We take our final break in the show. When we come back, it's the return of Dings and Dents. Will people stop getting injured already? Don't bet on it. Dings and Dents, brought to you by Wayne and Mary's, coming up next. The good, the bad, and the ugly, as well as we say so long to the Wednesday edition of Overtime, next right here on your Sioux Falls sports leader.
You want more of Overtime? It's all on the podcast. Free with the app or online at ESPN Sioux Falls. Overtime with Bert Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
Right back with you, set to round out and wrap up this middle of the week edition of Overtime. It is time once again for Dings and Dents. Are you sick and tired of feeling sick and tired? You can visit the pros at Wayne and Mary's to get some great advice and try some amazing products backed by a company that's been a Sioux Falls staple since 1970. That's right, the 55th anniversary celebration going on at Wayne and Mary's Nutrition Center all month long. Wayne and Mary's, we know natural health. If you've never seen Wayne and Mary's, never been in, and you've seen the store, hop on in. They know that everybody is different, and they make sure that every product on their shelves are of the best quality so that it works better and quicker in your body. The staff there loves finding what natural products work for you and your family. Wayne and Mary's Nutrition Center, two locations, on the east side at 24th and Sycamore, and on the west side at 46th and Kiwanis. Dings and dents now, a lot to get to from around the sports world. Georgia Tech quarterback Haynes King, if you are not familiar with his game, pretty damn good quarterback for the Yellow Jackets, missed a game while recovering from a lower body injury, and is trending in the right direction ahead of Saturday's matchup against number 12 Clemson, again, according to his coach, Brent Key. King's a sixth-year senior, was injured in the Yellow Jackets' season-opening win against Colorado, and sat out last week against Gardner-Webb. Trivia, where's that institution located? Gardner-Webb is in North Carolina, Charlotte area, after medical staff ultimately decided to hold him out. Key said King's status for Saturday's game remains unclear. We'll make a determination coming up this weekend. So not good, not bad, somewhere in the middle for Georgia Tech quarterback Haynes King. Not so good for Iowa Hawkeye tight end Addison Ostrenga, who started the team's first two games. He'll miss the remainder of the season with a torn Achilles tendon suffered at Iowa State. Ostrenga, 6'4", 250-pound senior, suffered the injury in the first quarter on Saturday, underwent surgery Monday to repair the tendon. Coach Kirk Ferentz saying, Addison, a great young guy. You hate to have anybody certainly lose playing time, and he's one of our senior guys, leader, and just a tremendous young person. Ostrenga started four games last year, six in 2023, and will miss the remainder of 2025 with an Achilles injury. Now to baseball. The Toronto Blue Jays put shortstop Bo Bichette on the 10-day IL yesterday due to a sprained left knee. Toronto recalled outfielder Joey Laperfido from AAA Buffalo. Bichette leads the majors with 181 hits and 44 doubles, so certainly a big loss for now. The shortstop going to be on the shelf for at least 10 days, retroactive to September 7th. The Cubs have been dealing with a lot of injuries and a slump for right fielder Kyle Tucker. He's on the 10-day IL because of a strained left calf. That move retroactive to Saturday. Tucker has not played since September 2nd and is now eligible to be activated on the 16th. Manager Craig Counsell, before yesterday's game against the Braves, it's just a little worse today than it was yesterday. Yesterday, a really good day. Just didn't have any progress today, so Tucker will go on the injured list, hitting 270 and a team-best 854 OPS this season. Back to the football now. New York Giants starting linebacker Micah McFadden will have foot surgery and will miss significant time, according to ESPN. McFadden likely return at some point this year, but going to be on the shelf for a while. Was injured on Sunday. Will make an tackle on Commanders quarterback Jaden Daniels. Right leg was placed in an air cast, and he was taken off the field on a cart. And Micah McFadden will be out for some time. And that is also the case, unfortunately, for likable, lovable Iowa alum George Kittle. The tight end of the San Francisco 49ers yesterday was put on injured reserve. It was a flurry of moves a day ago for San Francisco. He sustained an injury in the first half of Sunday's win against the Seahawks, and he'll miss games at New Orleans, home to Arizona, and Jacksonville, and at the Rams on the next four games of the schedule. The last of those games, Thursday Night Football, which made the decision to place Kittle on IR a little bit more academic. He'll be back in 4 weeks, at least at the earliest, for Kittle. And they also let go of longtime kicker Jake Moody as of yesterday. Came after he missed a 27-yard field goal and had a 36-yard field goal blocked against the Seattle Seahawks. They have brought in former Bear kicker Eddie Pinheiro as the new kicker of the Niners for now. And if you know it, you know it. If you don't have a kicker in the NFL, you certainly do know that, and the Niners are going to find that out pretty darn quickly. Eddie Pinheiro, the latest guy who's been all over the league to come in and be the starter for San Fran. Hopefully that works out for them. Finishing up the show, final 5 minutes or so. It's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. Lot to get to today, and we start in the world of hockey in mid-September.
Many days there are those who can be called a problem child. You know the ones. They have a tendency to display an ugly side. They have their whiny moments. Some display an outright bad side of themselves. And then there are those who stand out in a good way. Well, here they are, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Well, we start out the good, the bad, the ugly by tugging on those old heartstrings for you Chicago Blackhawk fans out there. Don't mess around. You can't afford a bad or ugly outdoor setup at your home or business. Check out hardscapesoutlet.com today or visit any of their three Sioux Empire locations to plan your next project. You bring in the inspiration and the ideas. They supply the rest at Hardscapes Outlet. Patrick Kane believes the comeback of Jonathan Toews, his friend and former Blackhawks teammate, could be one of the best stories in the NHL this season. 37-year-old hasn't played in the league since a final game in April of 2023 with Chicago, who chose not to re-sign him. Toews was limited during his final 2 years in Chicago, dealing with the effects of chronic inflammatory response syndrome and a bout with COVID-19, was one of those victims of long COVID. Back at that time in April of 2023, signed a one-year deal with the Winnipeg Jets in July, mounting an improbable NHL comeback with his hometown team. Kane and Toews won 3 Stanley Cups as teammates in Chicago, and Toews captained the team for 14 years. Here's what Kaner had to say. I think it's awesome. Obviously, with what he's been through, to be able to put himself in a position to come back and be feeling good, I think that's the most important thing. It could be a really great story for the NHL and for the franchise and for him and his family. I'm excited about watching him. Inspiring stuff from 2 Chicago pillars of the hockey community there in the Windy City. We stay in Chicago, where finally we got some movement for Josh Giddey in the NBA. Restricted free agent reached an agreement on a 4-year, $100 million contract to re-sign with Chicago. This news official as of yesterday. The deal fully guaranteed and contains no player or team options. Giddey, the 22-year-old, cements himself as the Bulls' cornerstone at starting point guard, following the franchise landing him via trade with OKC for Alex Caruso. During the 2024 offseason, Giddey, coming off a career year in Chicago, 14.6 points per game, career highs in rebounds, assists, steals, and 3-point field goal percentage. Josh Giddey, one of the long holdouts here of getting a deal done. Restricted free agent, 4-year, $100 million deal to re-sign with the Chicago Bulls. And lastly, great news for Las Vegas, bad and ugly news for everyone else. Jewell Loyd became the 16th player to reach 6,000 points, scoring 15 yesterday to help extend the Aces' winning streak to 15 games. Absurd stuff in the WNBA with a 92-61 win over the Sky that put Vegas in contention for the second seed in the WNBA playoffs. The Aces are 29-14 and will clinch that seed and home court advantage through at least the semis if they win at Los Angeles coming up tomorrow night, or Atlanta loses at Connecticut tonight. Las Vegas owns the tiebreaker over Atlanta, and Las Vegas's franchise record winning streak tied the 1998 Houston Comets for the third longest in the WNBA's history. The 2001 LA Sparks owned the record at 18 games, and the 2014 Mercury won 16 in a row. Don't bet against Coach Becky Hammond and the Las Vegas Aces moving forward. That's ugly for everyone else in the league right now, including the Liberty, the Lynx, the Fever, or anybody else trying to stand in their way from getting back to the summit of the WNBA. That's the good, the bad, the ugly. Dings and Dents brought to you by Wayne and Mary's Nutrition Center. WayneandMarys.com for the latest and greatest there, 2 Sioux Falls locations. That's our show today. Tomorrow, don't feel good about it. We're going to spend a lot of time talking about how great and how great it was to see J.J. McCarthy lead the Vikings back with a big-time win over the Chicago Bears. I am fired up to talk to you about it. Okay, we'll give him his due. We'll move on, but a Vikings Thursday will be here tomorrow regardless. Hope you can make us a part of your day tomorrow when the next edition of Overtime rolls around from 11 to 1. Dustin Baker in the seat across from me, J.J. McCarthy, the soup du jour. That sounds good. I'll have that. We'll do that tomorrow, 11 to 1, when Overtime comes back around right here on ESPN Sioux Falls.